Honestly, nothing much. I've just been resting and then been reading a lot, been prayerful about different situations and just prayerful for the church and just trying to get some things realigned in my own heart. And I think it's needful at times that we do pause at times to just let God speak to us. You know, we hear a lot of things and we listen to a lot of things, but sometimes it's just that dedicated time for God to just speak to us in His Word and speak to us in our spirit. And I think that's needful from time to time. And certainly, for me, just the comfort over the course of that is just the faithfulness of the men who opened the Word of God. And so really appreciate, all of the men who did that, Pastor Phil, Brother Andrew, Brother Gary, and many others who just fed the flock, and that was a good thing, and really, really enjoyed re-listening to those over the course of this time as well. So really blessed to know that we have that in our church, men who are faithful that way. But I've certainly missed the church. You know, we came in last week a little bit just quietly in the back and was part of the congregation in the morning and in the evening, and we really missed the singing. We've missed the fellowship. We've missed everyone. Just catching up a little bit with some of you this week has been refreshing. And so really looking forward to the rest of the year and just getting back into it. And of course, there's been other things. You know, this morning I don't know what was happening. I was touching my microphone and I was like, is this different? You know, when you've been away somewhere, you're looking and you're feeling like you're out of place a little bit. And so I don't know if it's just in my head or you guys have changed this, but it felt different when I was clipping it on, you know. And so looking around, I think everyone else looks the same. So you know, no weight gain, nothing like that, it doesn't seem. So just wanted to tell you that. But Jonah is where we're at. And as you know, we've been going through a little bit of the book of Jonah in just this interesting story in Scripture. And as I mentioned, when you first read it, it's a little almost fantastical, almost like another story, some sort of fairy tale. But we know that it's included in the Word of God for this reason. It's truth. It really happened. It's history. And we see that Jonah, who is a prophet of God, who would be someone that we would like to think had enough, I guess, sense to know that it's pointless, it's futile to run away from God. And yet that's what we find. We find Jonah really displeased with God's plan of things. And we made the comment that sometimes when God gives us something that we disagree with, we have a choice to make. We either submit ourselves to that or we just go ahead and try to run from it. And we find there then some consequences. And you know, we look at Jonah taking a boat to the opposite side of which he was called to. We were really called to be a preacher to the city, state of Nineveh, a wicked people that Jonah and his people didn't particularly like. And now we find in the story that really he was in earnest in God's process of getting him back to where he needed to be. And we made the point that whilst we look at the story of Jonah and how he physically had actually run to the opposite of what God had intended for him, that sometimes we don't have to be so far to be away from God. We can be away from God in our heart. We can, when God exposes something and shows us something that we're supposed to action and we're supposed to take care of, and when we refuse in that, even in our own rebellion, we can be just as far away from God as Jonah was in his day. And yet we spoke about God's mercy and all of that, and really we're going to see that demonstrated in a strange way. Demonstrated in a way that if you really think about it, there's sometimes this has happened in your life, and I'm talking about being swallowed by a whale. I'm talking about God's intervening of things in your life. Perhaps something that causes you great affliction, and that's the word that Jonah uses. He was in affliction when he cried. And we read here in chapter 1 and notice verse 17. Notice there the end of that. Jonah was on the ship. A great storm comes and Jonah admits that it's him. It's the reason the storm has come was because of his own rebellion. And then Jonah gets thrown into the waters. And really, when you think about what's happening in verse 17, no doubt Jonah, as he fell into that water, he could have figured, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to drown. And yet God does something. In verse 17, notice, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, the Lord Jesus himself is going to enumerate on that as a type. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But we continue in chapter 2. So now God had prepared a great fish, a whale, to swallow up Jonah. Instead of allowing him to drown, perhaps in his own guilt, perhaps in his own sorrow, perhaps in the situation that he finds himself in, actually God had more. And God does something miraculous, and you might wonder this morning, well, how did that happen? How did the fish swallow? Is that even scientifically, can you prove that, Pastor? I can't prove that. All right, all I know is the Bible said that, and God prepared that specific whale. You know, you look at the whale as an animal, you understand the great amount of acids that it has in its stomach to break things down. And yet this particular whale, God prepared. And this particular whale was really, in many ways, a rescue. You know, sometimes we don't pick the rescue that God gives us. Sometimes in the way we're going, we're thinking that we're just getting away with it, or we're just getting our way. And God, in His mercy, He knows that the way to destruction is our own way. And He does sometimes allow some things that maybe we don't fully understand or comprehend to swallow us up for some reasons that we're going to look at this morning. For reasons that are within His scope of control. And by the way, can I remind you that if you're one of His, then ultimately God ought to be in control of your life. And that when we allow ourselves to then choose our way, then God's mercy is so often demonstrated by Him trying to get our attention and Him trying to get us back on course, whichever way He chooses. And Jonah finds himself in this strange situation, being swallowed up by a whale. Imagine Jonah. You know, I don't know what process of time, the Bible tells us he was there 3 days and three nights. And that order, if you've read your Bible, that order already, think you ought to be thinking about something there. But you understand that you imagine Jonah, he'd just been thrown into the water. And his last thought would have been, I wonder how long it's going to take for me to drown. I wonder what's going to happen now. I don't know how strong of a swimmer Jonah was. Now, if Jonah was anything like me, it'd be 30 seconds. I'd be right down the bottom of the ocean. But here he was, maybe floating around for a little while, then suddenly out of nowhere, this giant fish, a whale, gobbles him up. And the next thing, maybe his eyes were closed, the next thing he looks up and I wonder if he knew. I wonder if he understood that in all of that, actually, as the billows and as the waves over came him, that this was actually God's mercy. This whale was God's mercy. This whale was God showing His love to Jonah in trying to get him back to where he needed to be. And here's what happened. You know, we see in the first few, Jonah going through the difficulties of his own stubbornness. And yet what we find now is Jonah praying. You see, when Jonah chose to run from God, he was seeking himself. And Jonah had his own plan and his own ideas for his life. And Jonah disagreed with the plan that God had put forward. And here now, Jonah had no choice. Jonah's life paused. Jonah's life was now very much in the hand of the very God that created both he and this situation, this whale. And what we find is Jonah is in the midst of some correction, in the midst of some trial that was really to correct. And you know, there's times in our lives where there's a situation that just comes about And we don't fully comprehend what it's about. We don't fully comprehend what's happening and how it's happened. But in many ways, it's so often God's just correcting us. God's refining us. God's working in our lives to draw us to a place of realization where we need to be. And you know, it might come in the form of the greatest trial of your life. It might come as a form of just the consequences of your own actions. And now you're going through a situation you never thought and you never saw coming. And yet here you are, no choice but to pause. And Jonah chooses what we ought to choose. Jonah chose to pray. Jonah prayed. And you know, trials and hard lessons can often bring us to places like this. Charles Spurgeon said, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." There was times where we recognize that God in His chastening and in His refining and His correcting of us, that actually in the hardship of that, God's drawing us to Him. And God-ordained trials are often the solution to perhaps even a hardened heart that's running from God. And how we choose to respond when we find ourselves in great depths of trial, testing, or even sorrow, is going to determine where we go from there. And we need to choose what Jonah did. We need to choose prayer. And notice with me in Jonah chapter 2, and we're going to go through the whole chapter, Lord willing, this morning. So come along with me, verse 1. And notice there, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly," and notice this, "of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Very well read earlier. But we see that firstly here, Jonah praying in the depths. And I love what the Bible says here in verse 2, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." You know, sometimes when we're going through an overwhelming situation, when we're going through a situation that maybe we never saw ourselves in, there can be a temptation in that time to try to figure it out yourself and not go to the place where we so know to go. And that's just simply to cry out to God. And sometimes it's in those situations where we find ourselves so desperate that then we have no other recourse but to pray. You know, we're such a people that when we think we can solve it ourselves, we will solve it ourselves. We'll just go and without even a thought of what God wants in the situation, what God would have for us, we just go ahead and we so often forget to pray. And so often prayer is seen in light of our speaking with God, and yet the word used here is what Jonah said, and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." This word means, as I think we know, shed tears in distress, to shout or to scream in pain. That's what this word means, to cry out. And sometimes we find ourselves fighting for the very essence of life and we cry aloud in prayer. It's often in those desperate times when we get there. You know, sometimes we're in danger of just treating prayer as just another part of our day. And I'm saying this morning, we ought to be regular in our prayer. But sometimes we go with such a monotony to it. Just going through the gears and going through the motions and without any real thought, we've drifted away even our thoughts in our prayer. I know I'm that way. But I know also in times when God is going through a God-ordained thing, that it's so often in the depths of that I cry out. That I'm crying out for God. And you know, sometimes we wait till the very last minute to be able then to cry out. And maybe that's where we need to be. You know, I mentioned that I'm not particularly good at swimming, and I've never really claimed any fame to that. I just know that I'm just bad. And I've tried to avoid. I've gone to the beach, and so often, You know, when I was in charge of groups, my greatest fear was someone going out there and drowning. And you know, there was a situation. I was at Manly Beach in Sydney, and we had a group of young adults. You know, I thought I'd be safe with young adults, right? Like, as if, obviously, I wasn't far in the ministry enough to know that that's when you're in danger with the young adults. But, you know, we went swimming, and there was a group of young adults there with us, and I was on the shoreline, and my wife comes up to me, and she goes, "I think someone's drowning." And I'm looking, I'm like, what? And she goes, "Look out there." And I hadn't obviously been paying attention. Being a man, I wasn't paying attention, right? But she had been paying attention, and one of our young adults had been taken in a rip. And actually, for about 5 minutes, he had been yelling for some help. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves in the riptide of life, and it's not until we've drifted way off, it's not until we're so far out that we then put all of our effort to cry out for help. When actually we have the very God of heaven who in a moment, and even in sometimes in just silence of just praying how best we know, can come to our rescue. And here's what we learn. In the depths, God hears us. And I wanted to tell you that maybe you're not there, but maybe you are. Maybe you're drowning in things. Maybe you're in the depths of your own despair. I want to tell you that even there, God can hear you. Even there, God will listen. Even there, as you find yourself desperate, and especially there, God can hear you. And that's when we should cry out. We shouldn't feel embarrassed. We shouldn't feel ashamed. We should feel in that moment a desperate need. And the Bible tells us that even in those moments that the Spirit helping our infirmities in Romans chapter 8. When we don't know what we should pray as we ought, that Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, maybe you're in the depths of such despair. You're in the depths of just desperation that you just don't know how to pray about it. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit of God is there. The Bible tells us in Psalm 40, verse 1, David, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." We see that God hears us, and we're in the depths. God hears us due to our affliction. He cried, the Bible says in verse 2, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." And affliction, as we understand it scripturally, it speaks of being in a state of suffering, of distress or hardship. This can be physical, this can be emotional, this can be spiritual. And it's a recurring theme right through scriptures. And often it serves a means in which God actually draws us to Him, refines us, disciples us, draws us closer to Him. In fact, David himself in that great passage of scripture in Psalm 119, verses 67 and verse 71, the Bible says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." And then he concludes in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And you know, that's so opposite to our culture today. We don't want to be afflicted. We don't want hardship. We do everything we can to avoid that. But then when God allows that, because perhaps he's just trying to get our attention, perhaps he's just trying to get us to draw close to him, perhaps he's just trying to wake us up to the fact that we're drifting away, then we sometimes get disillusioned with God. We sometimes then find an excuse to then go, "You know what, if this is how you're going to treat me, then," and then you just, but actually, God's trying to get your attention. And God's trying to get you to call out to Him, and in that depth, He will hear you. It's also, secondly, not only due to affliction, but it's due to separation. And notice, again, "And He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Now, God is very specific in the words that he uses, and he uses the word hell there to describe the situation that Jonah was in. He was in a hellish situation. You imagine being in a strange place like the belly of a whale. Anyone else been in there? No one else, right? Unfamiliar, dark, dingy, cold. And here's the point. He would have felt so far away from God. And you know, that's really what hell is. Hell is the furthest away you can get from God. And you know, the Bible tells us that those who are without Christ, they will go to that place. They will go to hell. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, in his moment of death, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he talks about this in relation to himself. He says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And we understand that this idea of death is really this. It's an idea of separation, eternal separation. And at that moment of death, Jesus went where everyone died. He went down to that place. But there's a scripture that clarifies what happened there. Jesus didn't go down to hell to pay for all of our sin. That was a consequence of the death that he willingly took upon himself for us. Look at Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16, and I want to clarify this. Psalm 16. And notice verse 10. And here really this miktam of David, this song of David, is really it's prophetic of what will happen. In verse 10, he says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One," capital H, capital O, "to see corruption," speaking of the Lord. And here's what happened when at death your soul goes down to hell without Christ, and your body also is separated, you're buried. And whilst the body goes through corruption, right? He says, the Bible says, "You didn't leave me in corruption." Why? We know this. He rose again the third day. Right? But he also says he didn't leave me there in hell. Now, he didn't suffer for 3 days. We know what the Bible teaches us, that he went to preach himself in that holding tank called Abraham's bosom, paradise. And he went down there for those who in faith believed in God. God held until God, the Lord Jesus, came and died and paid for them. And for 3 days and three nights, he preached himself. And then he took captivity captive and took them all to heaven. Because here's the point. See, Jesus is greater than Jonah. Whereas Jonah was left there for 3 days, three nights, you know what Jesus did? He did in victory. He was the one greater than Jonah. He came to overcome death, and the way to overcome death is to take captivity captive and to take his body and raise it up again. And what Jonah's saying here, though, is, you know, I'm in complete separation. Here I am at the farthest away I can be. And death and hell is as far from God as a lost person can get. Right now is as close as they can get to God. They have a choice right now. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never made that choice. I want to tell you that only during this time can you make that choice to believe in Christ as your Savior. But here's the point I'm making. It's as far from God as a lost person can get. And Jonah would have felt as far from God as he could. That's as separated as he could feel from God. And yet, even there, he cried out. And Jonah is saying he feels far away from God as if he were in the grave. And yet, even there, God heard him. And I want to tell you, there's a great picture of salvation there. There's a great picture of repentance. There's a great picture of a rescue from death. And Jonah cries out to God, and later on, he sees salvation in God. And I want to tell you that every person here who's never put their trust in Christ, you're actually in that very same danger. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus showed that he was a perfect sacrifice. He showed that he could face death, face the corruption, face the 3 days and three nights. But then because he is God, he rose up. And by the way, he took others with him. And I want to tell you that there's a great, great separation between you and God that you're in danger of. But even in that danger, God can hear you. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel as far away from God, and maybe there's been days, maybe there's been months, maybe there's been years of you just rejecting God, rejecting, and maybe there was a time that you even put your faith and trust in Christ. I know maybe you're, but because of sin and because of your own pride, you've just walked away and you feel like you're as far from God as possible. I want to tell you that even there, God hears you. And even there, God can rescue you. And we find that he heard even due to the separation, but really this was an intervention. And in verse 3, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep." And this was God's allowance. This was God's doing. This affliction was a communication really of love toward Jonah. And there, I want to tell you, he could still be heard by God. And so, what do you think? Why do we think God can't hear us where we're in the midst of pain or trial? Well, why is it that those times we feel like we perhaps even feel betrayed by God when really he's trying to get you to come back to him? Don't you think God can bend his ear to you? And really what we find, secondly, not only in the depths can God hear us, but then secondly, we see that in the depths, God can be sought. And in verses 4 to 7, let's read that really quickly. It says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." He found some seaweed there. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Again, a great type of the Lord Jesus. "When my soul fainted within me," notice this, "I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple." And there's a lot of references there of looking to the temple. And again, Jonah felt as far from God as he thought he could be, but he was also in a place that he thought he was completely out of sight. You know that saying, out of sight, out of mind. But who knows this? You know that God is one that, you know, God, there's no such thing as out of sight for God. God can see where you're at. But Jonah felt like he was out of sight. And so what Jonah decides to do, he decides to seek God himself. You know, he must have been feeling like God can't see me, but I can still picture and see God. You know what that represents is that it represents here in the Old Testament, the temple. And Jonah, in his mind, he was beginning to think about the temple. When his soul fainted within himself, he was so desperate to look for an answer that he sought God. And Jonah's reference to the temple, it employs the language used by the Jews to signify this, looking toward God. The temple served as the earthly dwelling of the Lord, and looking toward the temple meant drawing closer to God or seeking him earnestly. Even King Solomon, one of the great kings of Israel, he said that himself in 1 Kings chapter 8. In his great prayer about the dedication of the temple, he prayed for those that were far from God. He prayed that, "Lord, as they looked to the temple," he was dedicating the very house that he had just built, that house of God, the temple. And he was saying, "Lord, if those that pray to and those who face toward, would you hear them?" And what he was implying there, what he was trying to tell the people as they heard that prayer was this: you're never outside, out of the sight of God. You can always look to God. You can always seek him. You can be seen by God as you look toward that. Be reminded that you have a very, very good God who can see you even when you don't feel like you can be seen. You see, you can look to God when you're unseen. He said it himself in verse 4, "I am cast out of thy sight." And no one is truly out of God's sight. However, we can sometimes feel that way. But I want to tell you that what we need to do in that moment is given to us in James 4:8, where he says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." We're meant to take that step of looking to seek him. We can look to God when we're overwhelmed. He says here that the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. This wasn't just this overwhelming feeling of drowning. This was soul deep. He was feeling overwhelmed in every facet of his life. And, you know, you ever been dumped by the waves? You're going out there, you're all brave. Maybe when you're little, you're all brave, and then you're thinking, you know, you could karate chop the waves. And, you know, watch kids do that. They're just, you know, they can conquer the ocean, and they go in there, and then the wave gets them, and they're, you know, they're in the spin cycle of life. And they're getting drowned and all of that, and you're looking at, and you know, sometimes when you're feeling overwhelmed, you feel like no one else can see you. No one else can see what you're going through, and Jonah was saying that I'm overwhelmed by life. And there God can be sought. And yes, I'm saying that's the time to seek God. And the Psalms, they're full of examples of God, of David seeking God and looking to God when you're hopeless. See, he says in verse 6, he went down to the bottoms of the mountains. In fact, he says that you know, the earth, notice in verse 6, he says that the earth with her bars was about me forever, and he felt like he was imprisoned by the situation. And what he was saying, at the bottom of the mountains, it's the lowest of lows. Okay, his reference to the bars of the earth, it really talks about feeling trapped or imprisoned by the depths. It was a scenario he felt there was no return from. And what Jonah was saying was, I'm as low as the mountains are high. He's looking at the height of those, and he's looking at how far down he must have been. And he was saying, I'm as low as I can get. And yet the Bible tells us in Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And you know, I want to remind you that it's in those times where we feel out of sight and we're at the lowest of low that actually God is most needful and God is most available. And then at the end in verses 8 to 10, really quickly, he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Notice that the tone of his prayer starts to then change. He was crying and he was recognizing the depths that he was in. He was recognizing that he needed to seek God. And suddenly what we find is that he's got a little bit of self-awareness here. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He understood he had mercy available. He had his own mercy. There was things that God had prepared for him for mercy, but he had forsaken them. He says in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now, suddenly he's giving thanks. I will pay that I have vowed. He's coming back to purpose. And salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And here's the last thing. In the depths, really God redirects us. Because you see, the reason why Jonah got here was really he was lying to himself. He had lied to himself thinking that the best thing was to run away from God's plan. He had lied to himself thinking that there's no consequence. He can just get on that ship to Tarshish and off he goes. Free. To do whatever I want. And you know what? He recognizes that in verse 8. They that observe lying vanities. You know what? Jonah's gaze, Jonah's point of view, Jonah's perspective, it was righted. And what we're going to find is so often when our perspective is righted, then so do our steps become righted. Suddenly we're walking the right way, and often it's our perspective that's got to change first before the direction we're taking is rerouted. And in Psalm 107, verses 23 to 24, the Bible tells us that they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, great depths, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You know where God does the most and God does the best is when we find ourselves in the depths. That's when God redirects us. That's when God shows us some things. You know, the first thing that Jonah saw was his own deception. You know, sometimes there's a pride in Christianity to think that, you know, we're the people of truth. We're the people that knows clearly what life is about. And we walk around sometimes thinking like there's nothing wrong with us. And you know, so often it's in the depths where God reveals the most troubling things about ourselves. He has to bring us to depths to help us see, because now we have to listen to Him. You know, there's a very real thing of self-deception that the Bible calls out. And here Jonah had become self-deceived, and God had to bring him to this place of great depths so he can see his own deception. He recognized the deception within himself. He didn't fully understand the mercy of God toward those people in Nineveh. He didn't see and fully understand the mercy of God in just seeking him out with the storm and now with this whale. And now he's saying, you know, I've been, these lying vanities, I've been listening to them. And God was trying to show him that, Jonah, you might be my prophet, but you've got some blind spots. You might see some things that I've shown you, but here's what I'm showing you now. It's about yourself. All you're seeing is the wickedness of the world. But actually, there's things in here that you need to deal with. And here's the trouble sometimes, church. We can come to a situation like today, and we can come to preaching. And here's what we're doing. We're looking at everyone else. We're looking how that, oh man, I wish, oh that, I'm gonna replay that to this person. But how about you just allow God to just uncover some things in your own heart? And it might be that very message that you thought was for someone else is for you. That you need to get your perspective a little bit on yourself and where you're really at. And we need to stop walking around thinking like, well, there's nothing to improve. And I listen, there's plenty. You know, some have asked me, well, what's it been like? I said, it's been excruciating. I've had a lot of alone time with the Lord. And I've enjoyed it, but it's also been painful. God showed me some things. Not about you, about me. Some things I've not, some priorities. Some things that I've elevated to an unhealthy level of just priority that I needed to scale back and go, you know, that's not priority. And it's been painful for God to reveal that. But you know what it was? God needed to bring me to some depths. And maybe the thing that God's doing is just that. He's showing you some lying vanities. But then he also, even in the midst of that, he saw thanksgiving. In verse 9, finally, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. You know what he's saying? I'm going to sing out to you in praise. And his prayer changed to thanksgiving, really, as he started to begin to recognize God's love and mercy. I remember years ago, and I was a stubborn child, and my parents would attest to that very happily. And there were times where we butted heads a lot. And I remember one particular one, I was mad at them. They made a decision that I felt like was unjust. And there I was arguing back. Can you imagine, you know, arguing back and there we were going back and forth, and then I walked into my room, you know, in the house that they were paying for, and I slammed the door, and I sat in there. I was so mad. And they challenged me before I went into the room. They said, well, why don't you look in the Bible, and why don't you tell us why your action should be justified? And I slammed the door, and I said, I will! You know, so I started searching scripture, and you know what scripture did? It corrected me. And suddenly I started looking, and I saw my parents, and I saw how loving actually they were to me, and how they honored God. And here I was being mad at my parents, suddenly praying prayers of thanksgiving from my parents. I remember writing all of these down, firstly, really, really angrily, and then suddenly, you know, nice script writing, and, you know, and I remember keeping that for a little while. But God has a way of bringing us to a place of thanksgiving when we allow Him to change the way we see it. You know, we're so stubborn as people. We just want to see it our way. And part of what God does in the depths is He clarifies what we ought to actually be thanking Him for. there's much to thank God for. You know, in spite of struggles, there's things to thank him for. And there was thanksgiving suddenly in the heart of Jonah. And Jonah had to hit rock bottom for him to return to his calling. And we see that in verse 9 again. He says, I will pay that I have vowed. And he's saying, I'm going to go back to what I had promised. And you know, as a prophet, he would have vowed his life to the Lord. And maybe some of you who've been saved a little while, there's been times you've surrendered your life, and God has to bring you to sometimes rock bottom to get you back to, what was my purpose? What was my calling? And here his calling was to go preach to the city of Nineveh. And we're going to find in chapter 3 that he does do that. But he saw purpose in the depths. He was redirected to that, and his thoughts went back to his call to Nineveh and how he vowed a vow and how he was meant to spread as a prophet. He was to foretell God's word. And Jonah had to hit rock bottom for him to return to his calling. I wonder what it'll take for us. I wonder what God's trying to do in our daily, in our weekly, in our monthly, to try to get our attention back to, what are we called to? What are we called to in our home? Or what is your purpose at home? What is your purpose in the ministry? What is your purpose in that friendship? What is it that God is calling you that you're supposed to get back to? And God's trying to get our attention in that. But you know, he saw it. But then verse 9 and 10, he just concludes in verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. You know, he recognized nothing in him can do the thing that he needed to get done. He needed to just give it to the Lord. He ultimately, we see in verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish. And it's amazing how if we would speak to God, he would speak to the thing that was troubling us. He says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Guess where Jonah found himself? The same beach he should have been heading to. You know, you might look at that and go, poor Jonah, but here's how I see it. Wow, God is gracious. He gave Jonah a second chance. You know, God could have just let him go, and Jonah would never have seen the revival that we're about to read about in chapter 3. But God, in his mercy and his love, sought a runaway prophet. And yeah, he was a little bit dirtier than he should have been, but he got there. And God brought him back there. And God ultimately freed Jonah from the depths. And I want to tell you, those maybe you're going through the depths, it is a season. And if you allow God to work in you what he's meant to be working in you, then you might just see the beach. You might just see where you're supposed to get. And you might just get to that place that perhaps you were avoiding in the first place, but is best for you. And ultimately, there was rescue. And I'm saying that he saw some things, but he allowed. God allowed. God allowed him to get into depths. God allowed him to get into depths so that he could cry out, and God heard him there. God allowed him to be overwhelmed, and God was sought there. And God allowed him to be in the depths so that he can redirect Jonah to where he should have been all along. And I want to tell you that that's mercy. That's grace. That's love. You know, we picture love like, you know, nothing can go wrong and everything should go our way. That's not love. What love is God is love. What love is us finding our place and finding our potential in him. And you know, we are, as God's people, we're blessed. Because God just doesn't allow us to get in the depths. He sometimes might even prepare something that's unusual to get us back on track. And in his great love, he brings us to a place where we're going to see great things. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. And the opportunity to open your word again. And I'm thankful, dear Lord, for this unusual story of Jonah, because it demonstrates for us so many things. It demonstrates, Lord, the depths in which you're going to go to bring us, Lord, to satisfaction, to contentment in you. And Father, so many times in our stubbornness, we can become misguided, and Lord, we can become deceived. And yet, Lord, in your mercy, you would even prepare some ordained things that can just get us to a place of recognition of you. Help us, Lord, as we come to this time of prayer. Perhaps there's some here that need to cry out to you in their desperate need. And they've been stubborn. They've been trying to follow their own way. And they just need to get back to you. Perhaps you've allowed some things in their lives, even in the recent past. I don't know, Lord. I don't know how you're dealing with your people, but I know this, you will. And you will correct. You will allow storms. You will allow instances where we have to call out to you. And I pray that you'd help. I pray that you'd comfort those perhaps recognizing, Lord, that they're in that they're feeling that. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them great relief to call out to you even this morning. And would you help us? Lord, if there's anyone here that their cry needs to be for you to save them, I pray that you'd convict them greatly, Lord, of their sin and their need of you. I pray that you'd help them recognize that today needs to be the day of their salvation. Please, Lord, work. And Lord, help us as we even now just take this time. Lord, would you just help us, Lord, to just seek you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. As the piano plays, we're going to have a time of invitation.